My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, years ago, the Reader's Digest asked H.G. Wells, the well-known historian, to select the three greatest men of history. The first thing Wells did was to decide upon a test for determining what made a person great. And after pondering the matter, he came up with a test put in the form of a question. What did the person do to start people thinking in a new directions in a way that eventually changed the course of history? Using this test, Wells considered a number of candidates. Finally, he narrowed the field down to three. He gave the third place to Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher. He gave second place to Buddha, the great Eastern mystic. And he gave first place to Jesus of Nazareth. In giving the first place to Jesus, Wells said that he considered Jesus solely as a man. He said he was aware that many people considered Jesus to be more than a man. But a historian must disregard this fact. He must judge Jesus as a man, just as a painter must paint him as a man. And lest people think he was biased in choosing Jesus, Wells pointed out that he himself was not a Christian. After reading Wells' article, someone said, "I wonder who Jesus would have selected had he been in Wells' place." Strangely enough, Jesus did make such a selection in his lifetime. And who did Jesus select as history's greatest man? We find the answer in today's gospel. He selected John the Baptist, saying, "I say to you, among those born of women, there has been no greater than John the Baptist." My dear brothers and sisters, if Jesus were to remake his selection today, I'm sure he would pick John the Baptist again. A closer study of today's gospel reading suggests two reasons why Jesus chose John the Baptist. The first reason is his personal holiness. John's whole life was one of selflessness and sacrifice, self-sacrifice. The second reason is the role John played in the history of our salvation. John was more than just an outstanding prophet. He was God's own personal messenger sent to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. After declaring John to be the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus surprises us. In fact, he shocked us, saying, "Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." let's perfectly clear on what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that the greatest sinner among us in this church today is greater than the greatest man in history. Jesus is saying that by our acceptance of him, which makes us members of God's kingdom, we take on a value that ranks us above the most important person who ever lived. The reason is clear. By accepting Jesus, we are united with him. By acceptance of Jesus, we become one with him. By acceptance of Jesus, we become members of the mystical body of Jesus, the church, the kingdom of God here on earth. And as a result, we are joined so intimately with Jesus that we can truly address God as our Father. An analogy might help clarify how the least member of God's kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Consider these examples. The weakest voice in the world, when united with microphone, is louder than the loudest voice in the world. So, and to the slowest person in the world, when united to an automobile, is faster than the fastest person in the world. In a similar way, my dear brothers and sisters, the least important person in the world, when united with Jesus, becomes greater than the greatest person in the world. And so today's readings pay tribute to John the Baptist, but they also pay tribute to us. They say that John is the greatest man in history, but they also say that the least member of God's kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. In making us one of his son, Jesus, God has bestowed on us the greatest gifts. And because God has given us such a great gift, he expects much from us, just as he expected much from John. Jesus himself said in his lifetime, in the Gospel of Luke, he says, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." My dear brothers and sisters, one of the purposes of Advent is to ask ourselves three hard questions about how we are using God's gifts. How well are we using God's gift to grow in holiness and to advance to the work of God's kingdom on earth? How might we better use God's gift to grow in holiness and to advance the work of God's kingdom on earth? How will we begin to use God's gifts starting today to grow in holiness and to advance the work of his kingdom on earth? In brief, then, my dear brothers and sisters, we should ask ourselves, how are we using God's gifts to us? how might we better use them? How will we begin to use them starting right now? Let me close with a prayer. Lord, John the Baptist was your messenger who prepared this world for your first coming. Help us carry out our mission of preparing our world for your second coming. Help us to evaluate how we are using your gifts to grow in holiness and to advance the work of your kingdom. Help us to take to heart Jesus' words that much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Amen.